Welcome to the Locked On Minnesota Twins podcast. Today is Monday, March 23rd, and I'm your gracious host, Nash Walker. And what would have been opening day week, Twins fans, I am here with you. Thanks for tuning in. Hope you had a great weekend. Hopefully you're staying home, staying healthy with you and yours as well. I have been, certainly, and I'm not complaining a whole lot. There is a, you know, it's a little more sad this week because it would have been opening day, but in the grand scheme of things, you know, it's baseball. But, you know, this is a baseball show as well, so we focus on that angle, and I think we're definitely feeling it this week because we would have had Twins baseball, not only Twins baseball, but one of the best Twins teams and one of the most hyped Twins teams in a long, long time. So I do want to talk about what a canceled season would mean for the Twins. What would a canceled season mean? But first, follow me on Twitter at NashWalker9, at LockedOnTwins for the show. And thanks again for joining me today. We're also going to talk about Twins pitching history. And this is a little tougher. So last week I wrote about the top five Twins hitters of all time. It was a little more straightforward. I think more shuffling from the 3 to 5 range with Oliva and Mauer. And Puckett, but, you know, pretty straightforward. You know, Carew and Killebrew, the top two hitters, and Carew, because of his hit tool, came out number one, hit 388 and 77, I think it was, and was just outstanding. And then Harmon was a close second with, you know, the career 573 home runs, I think it is, ranks 12th all time. So that one was decently straightforward. I think the pitching one is a little more difficult. I think, you know, when you look at pitching in general in Major League Baseball and the history of pitching, because the league has changed so much over the years, I think it makes it a little bit tougher because, you know, some of these pitchers would have gotten smacked in the game today. But also there's the argument that if they had the nutrition and the training and the Rapsodo machines and all these different technology, that they would be better today, or that they would maintain that level of domination that they had, say, in the 60s or 70s. So I think it's a little more difficult. I have a number one, but I think even the number one can be debated because my number one was so purely dominant for a long time, or not for a long time, for a very short time. I'm here for a good time, not a long time, is basically what my number one said. It was very, very good for, you know, 3-4 year stretch, but then didn't really make it into their 30s, but was dominant when they did pitch. And my number one is Mr. Johan Santana. So I'm going to get into Twins pitchers this week. We'll go over Johan today, and then we'll kind of go 1 through 5 this week, I think, is what we'll do. But I need to think about it more because I think anyone could be 2. Anyone could be 3. Anyone could be 4. I think you could shuffle these guys in and out. I think I have an idea of who number 2 will be tomorrow, but I do need to sit on it, sleep on it a little bit more. But let's talk about the Twins and kind of where we're sitting. This would have been opening day week, as I said. So we would have been playing in Oakland on Thursday. I was heading out there on Wednesday night. I was going to go to the game Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Of course, the coronavirus has stopped that from happening. So opening day has been pushed back to at least mid-May because of CDC recommendations that no crowd should be together for 8 weeks. So the earliest that baseball can start, I think, is May 10th is the day. And that's kind of ironic. It's funny because Michael Pineda was set to come back on May 10th from his suspension, and that's a big question. If there's a shortened season, does his suspension get prorated? I assume that it does. But let's talk about what would happen, because I think more so over the last couple of days or over the weekend, there's been more of a, maybe I was just naive last week or 2 weeks ago, there's been more of a sense that maybe there won't be a season at all. And the United States is kind of in this period, and I looked at the charts this morning. The United States is right, so I think we're 10 to 12 days behind Italy, and of course Italy has become like the epicenter of this pandemic, of just a lot of deaths, a lot of cases, and our warmest thoughts and prayers go out to Italy in this time. But the United States is kind of on this track of where Italy and South Korea were right now. They're all three kind of in the same place at this time, like X amount of days after their first 10,000 cases or whatever it was. So either the United States can kind of flatten and go straight like South Korea, or they can continue to exponentially grow like Italy. And that's going to kind of dictate the baseball season, how soon we see baseball, how many games we play is this next step. And that's why staying home right now and staying inside and being careful is so important. We just saw out of Italy that they reported for the first time a single digit difference in deaths, I believe it was, from day to day because of the lockdown from 2 weeks ago. They're finally starting to bear fruit from the lockdown. They're starting to see it in their numbers that things are flattening out. So this is a really important time for us to stay in and be careful and wash our hands and stay away from people and social distance, because in 2 weeks or in a week, maybe, because we started the social distancing about a week ago, we're going to see that flattening, hopefully. And South Korea is back to playing baseball. So, and you know, we're 10 to, I think we're also 10 to 15 days behind South Korea. So, you know, I think there's, and South Korea is obviously a much smaller country, but if you think about it, right now is very important for us, and not only important to keep the country healthy, but to get baseball back as well. And I know we all want to get baseball back and get back to our normal lives. So it's a very important time. But back to, I think I underestimated the chance that a season would be canceled. So how does it affect the Twins if the season's canceled? And this is kind of where it makes me a little sick to my stomach when I think about a canceled season in the wake of COVID-19, is because this Twins team is built to win right now. And it's really difficult because the longer this goes on, the worse the chances get for the Twins, because we want them to play more games. We want them to show that they're deep. They're built for 162 games. We know this, that their roster is pretty solid in that way. And depth-wise, they have stars, absolutely, in Donaldson and Cruz and Polanco and Kepler and you know, Jose Barrios, but it's really important that the Twins play as many games as possible, because their depth will really shine through in that case, like it did last year when they won 101 games and they had 10 hitters above league average, including Yair Adrianza. Marwin had a down year, but he was very, very valuable, especially when Miguel Sano was out in the first half of the year. So let's go over the age of the acquisitions of Twins. Josh Donaldson's 34, signed him to a four-year deal. Kenta Maeda turns 32 in April. Tyler Clippard is 35. Sergio Romo's 37. Rich Hill just turned 40. Alex Avila's 33. Homer Bailey turns 34 in May. Nelson Cruz, not an acquisition, but turns 40 in July. Marwin Gonzalez is 31. Michael Pineda's 31. And I'm sure I'm missing a few 30-year-olds as well. But you look at this roster, and it's built to win now. Do you hate stepping on the scale? Maybe it's because you haven't met the right one. A company called Withings produced the first body smart scale, and they're still the best. In fact, Tom's Guide rated Withings Body Plus is the best overall smart scale in 2020. If you're looking to lose weight, willpower is key, but so is having the right tools. Withings smart scales are known for durability and an exceptional user-friendly design. Step on and get data from every weigh-in, syncing automatically to the free app for iOS and Android via Wi-Fi or Bluetooth. Lots of smart scales don't have the Wi-Fi option, and it means you need to have your phone on you, but Withings Body Plus gives weight, full body composition, weight trend, even a local weather report. The scale can support up to 8 users and even knows who is who. So here's the deal. You can get 25% off a Withings Body Plus scale right now at withings.com for a very limited time. Go to withings.com. That's withings.com/MLB to get 25% off a body plus body composition scale. That's withings.com/MLB to get 25% off a body plus body composition scale. And you look at the way that the Twins have kind of constructed things. This is a World Series run roster. This is a veteran heavy. Their offseason, I think, was built, and this is, you know, it's interesting because the way free agency works and because the way the league is set up, most of the time when you acquire a free agent, unless it's 28-year-old Bryce Harper or 26-year-old Bryce Harper or 28-year-old Manny Machado, it's going to be a 30-plus-year-old because they're finally entering free agency after those years of arbitration. But even more so for the Twins, and you look at an acquisition like Josh Donaldson, they got Josh Donaldson for 2020 and potentially 2021 as well. They wanted him to come in, make a huge difference in year one and two. And I said it with Chris Castellani last week when I was on Locked On Tigers. I posted that last week. If you haven't listened, it's a great one. If you have time, go back and listen. I think it was Wednesday of last week, if I'm not mistaken. It's in the headline. It says Locked On Tigers and Twins. So go check that out. Check out Chris's show too. He's great. But I said on his show, the Twins would be fine if Josh Donaldson produced 5 WAR in his first season, or 6 WAR. He had 6 WAR last year on Baseball Reference. If he produced 5 or 6 WAR in 2020, and then like 4 WAR in 2021, and then 2 WAR in 2022, 2 WAR in 2023, Twins would be fine with that because they got 5 or 6 WAR in 2020. They want to win now with Nelson Cruz just turning 40, or will turn 40 in July. They want to maximize him in his final season. They want to maximize this roster as their guys enter their prime. Jorge Polanco and Max Kepler and Jose Barrios and Miguel Sano and Mitch Garver, and the list goes on. This team is built to win now. I think the Twins understood that after they won 101 games. The front office said, okay, look, I think this team's ready to make a run. Let's supplement with veteran pieces that will help with experience in the playoffs, and then let's add another star, the best player on the team, and Josh Donaldson, who we had to give a four-year deal to, or else he wasn't going to sign in Minnesota. You know, I'm sure plenty of other teams wanted him on a three-year deal, and he would have had his choice. But he wanted 4 years, and the Twins were willing to do that when other clubs were not. The Nationals had deferred money. The Braves had less money in, on a four-year deal. So the Twins went above and beyond to get Josh Donaldson for 4 years. And he's the type of guy, we've said it, who could age very well. You know, could produce 4-5 WAR in his age 36 and 37 seasons. But they're not counting on that. They're counting on 5 or 6 WAR right now. And in 2021, potentially 4 or 5 WAR. I'm just using WAR as a reference of saying this is a front-heavy deal for Josh Donaldson. So you look at this, the team is, and it depends. If the season gets canceled, it's really going to depend on what they do with the contracts. So if they pay, I mean, I don't know how they could pay players because of attendance and revenue streams, but that would be it'll be crazy to see what they do if the season gets canceled. If guys just don't get paid for their contracts, will be interesting. So that will be step number one. But let's say everyone loses a deal, loses a year on their deal. You know, Marwin Gonzalez then becomes a free agent. Nelson Cruz, Tyler Clippard, Sergio Romo has a club option. Rich Hill, Homer Bailey, Alex Avila. They have so many guys on one-year deals, and you can just look and say, okay, this team wants to win now in 2020. So it really does hurt the Twins more to have a canceled season than maybe the average club because of their age and the kind of direction that they went this offseason of, we're ready to make an October run. This is what we think we need. Let's add a potent player like Josh Donaldson, and then let's add some veteran pieces, Tyler Clippard. Let's bring Sergio back. Let's bring Rich Hill into the mix and try to get 10 to 15 starts down the stretch, and maybe in October he can pitch as well. Alex Avila is a great backup catcher, lefty platoon bat. And then Kenta Maeda, we're going to trade for a veteran starter for a 20-year-old starter in Brustar Graterol. So this team's built to win now again, and it does hurt the Twins, I think, a little bit more because they're not going to be better next year when Nelson Cruz is going to turn 41 next July. This is the best they're going to be right now, and they will not be better in 2021, I'm afraid to say. I think this is the best that they've looked in a long time. I do want to talk a little bit about Johan Santana today because I posted a video yesterday on Twitter of Johan's 17 strikeouts back in August of 2007, I think it was, at the Metrodome against the Rangers. If you haven't seen it, check it out at NashWalker9 on Twitter. Posted it yesterday. I've been posting a lot of videos. I was watching a painful Game 3 of the ALDS yesterday. Posted a picture of a strike call on Mitch Garver, and he responded and said he remembered thinking the same thing about robot umps. So that's funny too. Go check that out, and then check out Johan's strikeouts as well. So leaders in WAR, Johan's at 35.8. That was before his 30th birthday, and we know he got hurt in his early 30s. Had a really good year from the Mets through a no-hitter when he first went over there, and then kind of faded off, and then had shoulder issues, and just, you know, injuries kind of bugged him. And he had 35.8 WAR before his 30th birthday for the Minnesota Twins. He's also the Twins leader in ERA plus at 141. Next down is Dean Chance at 126. 141 ERA plus means that Johan Santana in an average season was 41% above league average with his ERA. Also an OPS plus, which means lower the better. 100 is league average. We know for OPS plus for hitters, if it's over 100, that means you're that much better than league average percentage-wise. And for pitchers, if it's under 100, that's how much better you are. So Johan Santana's at 67. He's the Twins leader. That means he's 33%. His OPS against is 33% lower than the league average in an average Johan Santana season. So you look at Santana, I think he's the most dominant Twins pitcher of all time. Like I said, third in Twins WAR, first in ERA plus, first in OPS plus. He's also seventh in innings pitched for the Twins, so it wasn't super short and sweet. He's a top 10 innings pitched guy for the Twins, fourth in strikeouts, first in wins, ERA, ERA plus by 15, strikeout rate 27.4%. OPS plus was 60, and batting average against was 211 from 2004 to 2007. So if you just take 2004 to 2007, Johan Santana was basically the best pitcher in baseball by most metrics. Again, first in wins, first in ERA plus by 15%. Next guy down was 15% worse than Johan Santana. I haven't looked at what the difference is between 2 and maybe it's 20 is 15% as well, but he was just so much better than everyone else from 2004 to 2007. He won the Cy Young in 2004, finished 6th in MVP voting that year, and he won it in 2006, finished 7th in MVP voting that year, finished 3rd in 2005 and 5th in 2007, also 7th in Cy Young voting in 2003 as well. But if you just look at 2004 to 2007, those 4 years, he made 134 starts with a 155 ERA plus, almost 10 strikeouts per nine and just two walks. So just dominant stuff from Johan Santana. And his best season was 2004. He had a 2.61 ERA. His 1.82 ERA plus led baseball. He led the American League in ERA, strikeouts, FIP, and WHIP. Randy Johnson and Roger Clemens were the other two dominating starters. They were both in the NL, and they're the only reason that Johan didn't lead the league in basically every category. Also, Johan pitched very well against the Yankees in the postseason. In 2003, he pitched four shutout innings in Game 1 at Yankee Stadium. He did get pounded in his Game 4 start that year. But in 2004 in the ALDS, and this is what kind of started his Hall of Fame-like run, he didn't make it off the first ballot. But he won Game 1 at Yankee Stadium in 2004. He pitched seven innings, didn't give up a run, five strikeouts, one walk, nine hits. Just vintage Johan Santana start. Outstanding in the playoffs at Yankee Stadium. Game 1, you just imagine that environment. And then Game 4 at the Dome in the ALDS, five innings pitched, one earned run, seven strikeouts, three walks, five hits. And then started Game 1 at the Dome versus Oakland in 2006 through eight innings, gave up two runs, eight strikeouts, one walk, just dominant. But in the 2004 and 2006 ALDS series, he started three times, 20 innings pitched, 1.35 ERA in 20 innings with 20 strikeouts, five walks, and a 6.42 OPS against. And the Twins scored a combined nine runs in those three games for Johan Santana. So I think the most dominating pitcher in Twins history, and I think the best pitcher in Twins history is Johan Santana. But it's going to be difficult, and bear with me. Let me know what you think. I'm going to have that article posting on Friday at Twins Daily. Thanks for listening today. Have a great day, and go Twinks, and I hope your family and you are healthy and safe in these difficult times. Thanks again for listening. We'll be back again tomorrow.